Welcome back to another episode of A Businessman's Guide to Almost Everything. I'm your host, Cole Brzenji, and with me today, we are going to learn a little bit more about real estate media. Is that right?
That's right.
All right. Casper, introduce yourself. Who are you? Where are you from? And what do you do?
Yes, so I'm Casper. So I do real estate media here in Bellingham, Washington, and been doing it here in Bellingham since January of 2024. I went full-time May of 2024. And so I've been doing it full-time for about a year. And yeah, so far it's so good. Just working on being an entrepreneur, being a single business owner, and yeah, trying to learn all the ropes.
All right. Well, today I wanted to go over what your field is looking like right now in the year of our Lord 2025, Whatcom County, Washington edition.
Okay.
I always find it interesting to hear other creatives specifically talk about their fields because it can vary wildly.
Yeah.
And I think that's a little bit because if you're in a creative field, it's probably because you have a bit of a creative bone in your body that might lead you to be a bit more scatterbrained, just generally speaking.
Okay.
So, briefly speaking, in the world of real estate media, you have already talked about how photographers who used to just do photography are now doing videography, and now they're moving into media management, and there's drones. How would you describe the field right now? Is everyone doing okay? Are there too many of you?
Yeah, it's a good question. To start off with, like, with real estate media and like real estate photographers, I think there can be a concern of like having like being competitive. So I listened to this book by the guy who did Simon Sinek. What was his book? Do you remember his book?
I've heard the name Simon Sinek, but I don't know.
Anyways, he wrote this book called Leaders Eat Last. So the one that he's famous for, like the TED Talk, is called Start With Why. Mm. So like think about your why. But I bring this up because there's a book called Leaders Eat Last. I think that's it. No, it's The Infinite Game. So it's called The Infinite Game. I bring this up because he talks about competitors. There's a section about rivals. And so the idea is to think of the other people in your space not as competitors, but as rivals. Mm. And so you're asking how all the other media providers are doing. There's a good amount of real estate media providers here in Bellingham, like Whatcom County. Mm. Not to mention Seattle and Puget Sound, like there's a lot.
Oh yeah.
Partly why I'm kind of glad that I moved up here to Bellingham and Whatcom County. I service Whatcom County, Skagit County. I'm going to Marysville later this week. Mm. I had a job in Lake Stevens and Stanwood last week. I try to think of other real estate media providers as rivals. The difference being like competitors, like it's very finite and it's very trying to win, right? And sometimes by trying to win, you try to put somebody else down instead of trying to build yourself up. Mm. Think in the book, he used the example of like Venus and Serena. Or
those are the tennis players or whatever, right?
Yeah, Venus and Serena Williams. I think that's who he uses. But just think of it as like rivals, where the difference is like you're both in the same space, you're both competitive, but like Kobe and like Michael Jordan, for example. Mm. Like the idea is like these people are both great, and like you're not gonna try to put the other person down, but you're like, okay, so this person just did, had a 50-point game. It's like I can do 55 or something, right? Like where you're focusing on trying to do better than the other person, not trying to cut them down.
Right.
So as far as real estate media providers, there's a good amount of us here, and it's good for real estate agents. They have a lot of options. I can't be able to provide services to everybody. Not yet. So it's great for people to have options. It's great for people to find the person that they connect with the most. So there's a lot of real estate media providers, real estate. Sometimes people just do photography or video or whatever. Mm. But I think it's healthy. And I think we're all finding our tribe, is what I call it. Mm. And yeah, it's, more and more agents are using more professional photos and they're using more professional video and professional services. which helps everybody. It helps the agent, it helps the seller, it helps the business. So I think it's healthy right now.
So let's pick that part apart a little bit more, because I like the idea of building up versus cutting down, or not even building up, but like competing with, but in like an iron sharpening iron kind of way. Mm-hmm. Give me an example of real estate media types sharpening each other, pushing each other forward to improve.
Yeah. So I think as far as that's concerned, I think the idea that I come across is like, instead of like trying to undercut somebody or trying to talk negatively about another media provider, because we all do good work and we all, I mean, yeah, we all do good work. Iron sharpening iron, as far as like, okay, so I see somebody that's going on video, or I see somebody that's like promoting this service. Maybe like if I want to go in that service as well, like then that'll be motivation for me to get on video and promote my services that way. Mm. Or maybe like they're doing like fancier listing videos. Like I use my camera, or I use my phone to do all my videos. Just makes me more efficient, more quick, less settings to try to figure out. Some photographers use their camera to get on video, to help the agents get on video, which is fine. But just being able to be like, okay, so this guy is doing a lot of video, which is great. And I want to do more video, but instead of getting, you know, agents to do videos at their listings, my passion this year has been on getting agents to do like the talking head videos. So something like this, or something where, you know, they can be out in the wild, talking about our neighborhoods, stuff like that. And so just, instead of saying like, oh, your videos suck, you can say like, oh, like that's a great video. And like, then like that gives me inspiration to do videos myself or do something else.
So inversely, what are some of the ways that media types are cutting each other down? Is it just by undercutting each other price-wise?
I'm not sure. And I think maybe not cutting each other down, but just like being very siloed and like, I guess for me, I think of it as like all boats lifting each other up.
Oh, sure. Like and, high tides raises all boats or whatever it is, right?
Yeah. Yeah. What's it called? Yeah, high tide. But I think something that I have found good here in Bellingham and Whatcom County is like I found some real estate media providers here in the area that are cooperative and cooperative and supportive of other real estate media providers. I mean, I've gone to like a party with another one, or they're so Radley has done, his wife had like a grand reopening for their business, and like Radley was doing his
this is Radley Mueller.
Radley Mueller.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. And he's been in the business for 20 years or a long time. since I was in diapers, maybe. Maybe not. Actually, probably he has. Just not up here. So his wife was doing a grand reopening at their interior design store. And like he invited me, like a competitor or just a fellow real estate media provider. And I mean, it was great. Like we compliment each other. Like we, like, he's not, how would you say? Like, I want to say like, he's not scared that I'm going to take away his business. Like we respect each other. Like I respect the work he does. I assume he respects the work that I do. I mean, he's sort of done the great work. So, same with like, there's Tony Zapian that's in town, and like, I'm meeting up with him. I met up with him when I first arrived in town. We had a beer, talked about it. Like just, you know, the area, business up here, like his past, my past, I'm meeting up with him again later this month, and just being able to cooperate, which brings up an idea of like, sometimes there's agents that want to do photos or videos or media in an area that is too far away from me. I had an agent that wanted to do media in, it's like Carnation, which is like 2 hours away. It's like, I don't want to do that. It's too far away. And so like, I know of all these other real estate media providers that are in Seattle area or outside. And it's like, I can suggest them. And it's like, I know, I can see their media work and I can see that they provide good work. And so, being able to, you know, connect those people together, is a way of just like a rising tide lifts all boats, where it's like, you know, I'm helping my client by, you know, my real estate agent that works with me a lot with connecting them with somebody that's going to give them good quality work. I'm helping this other guy get good quality work and like being able to have that opportunity to take a job, you know, that is much closer to me at that time. And
yeah,
like not having to charge, you know, lots of money just to go down there.
Mm. Yeah. It's, we've run into that a little bit ourselves. It's just like naturally you always do with creative fields. Cause there's a lot of people out there that could pick up a camera and is like, oh yeah, I could do this. And for what it's worth, many of them do very well, but we've found ourselves in situations where, you know, we're approached by not-for-profit and they're like, hey, we got this idea. We want this covered. It's like, yeah, sure. We can do that. And you know, it's a not-for-profit, so we're going to make sure that we keep our price, you know, according to what your limitations are, because we understand it's a charitable mission. And then, you know, it's a mm-hmm. fine bill. We come away with a little bit of money that we're, so I'm still putting food on the table. We wait a few weeks and then we follow up with them. It's like, hey, you know, I just want to touch base. It's been a little while. How are things going? It's like, oh, we found someone else to do it. Like, oh, okay, well, that's fine. And like, happy day. I hope it goes well for you. He's like, yeah, they offered to do it for like $300 too. I'm like, what? What?
Yeah.
That was like a $3,000 job. How are they doing it for $300? They're like, oh yeah, he's just a first timer. He wants to learn. Okay. Like, that's fine. That's great. Like, you're giving the fella a shot. That is wonderful. I would have killed for a shot like that way back when. Mm-hmm. But you get what you pay for sometimes.
Yeah, I think something that I've learned over time is like mm-hmm. you get what you pay for. I think like hiring me 2 years ago is completely different than hiring me now.
Oh yeah.
And, I mean, my quality is better. Like my services are better. The tools are better. Like now somebody can go to my website. They can book, they can do everything without ever actually talking to me if they really wanted to. Mm. They can pick out their services. They can type in the information. They can see my calendar. They can book. If there's a code, they can give me the code. I can go there, like do the shoot. The system automatically sends them an invoice and they can pay with their credit card and they get the photos. And, yeah, it's just completely different and you get what you pay for, right? Like those are things that I've invested in better equipment, all that kind of stuff. So you get what you pay for, which is okay. Like just understanding that's what you're getting.
Yeah, no. And I think almost all business owners have had to learn that the hard way at least once in their life.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's how you know that you're making it as a business owner, that you get to make those bad decisions and you survive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So let's move on from that a little bit. So from a prospective customer's point of view, real estate agents, they have the option to just take their phone, hold it out like this and film themselves, maybe add like an Instagram caption or something like that. Mm-hmm. And that's a reel. There they go. Happy day. Why should they seek out a realtor specialist media product or media production specialist? Mm-hmm. Why should they come to you?
Yes. And so I guess on that point, like I would say they should do both.
Mm.
So, right. Like you should pay a professional to help get, you know, quality media. Mm. But you it's also okay. And I would suggest doing the same thing, like maybe for your open house, doing like a story, doing a walk through the house. It's just going to get different audiences. So doing a story just feels more raw and it feels more, I mean, it's obviously less produced and it feels more like ability to get a connection, but also having quality media is going to show your prospective clients like, hey, when the time comes to list their house or something, right? Like this agent can provide high quality media and like they're, you know, they have the connections or, you know, they have the services that can produce stuff that's going to make my listing look good.
Mm.
Yeah. So I think like, yeah, it's a mix of both.
Okay. So in that case, what are the benefits that they receive when they come to you for their services? Yeah. What can you do that they can't?
There's a lot of things. And sometimes it's just, you know, having somebody to bounce the ideas off of, kind of as we talked about in the previous episode, like having a consultant. And so I've had, I mean, I worked 2 years for an agency that did marketing. I did like built my own business and my own social media brand. I worked for Zillow or Zillow and a company called Market Leader, which is, was purchased and then sold by Zillow. I worked for them for 8 years. And so, I mean, when I was a senior in high school, I did my senior project on real estate. And so when they're coming to me with something, it's having a consultant, having somebody that understands how to have like a quality message that's going to connect with your clients, understanding the drip funnel, the marketing funnel, all that kind of stuff. I think specifically focusing on, for me, helping them craft a message that's going to be scroll stopping and help them build a client base and helping people connect to them so that they'll buy them in the future. So I have a story about that. So there's a client, Brie, that I mentioned in the past episode. She's in Lake Stevens, and she went all out for her listing in Birch Bay by the Birch Bay Golf Club. And so she did like the photos, she did the drone photos. She did like a 3D tour. So kind of like Matterport, but better. I have a video about that on my Instagram. it's called iGuide. And she did a video. I asked her, I was like, hey, so do you want to do a video on this one? She's like, sure. And so we got her on video, introducing the house, like with a scroll stopping hook. Video looked great. It had like the floating text, like the fancy text, 3D text on there. But I didn't learn this until later, but actually from her doing that video, like she got a lot of engagement and a lot of views from her clients, but she got like a message from one of her clients that, you know, wanted to be like, oh, we're going to be listing their house. Like we're going to be buying a house or selling a house soon. Like we want to use you as the agent. And so she had already built that relationship with those people, but just getting on camera and like, it might've just pushed them over the edge or, just like gave them that extra incentive or like that extra reminder. In some ways just doing that video has, you know, gained her new client, which is going to, you know, pay for the video like 10 times over.
Oh, easy. Yeah.
So just, showing up on camera and, not to say that just doing that one video guy or that client, but, having a social media presence and have that engagement and then building that and continuing that helps with her sales funnel.
No, for sure. So you talked a little bit about the technology there. I want to touch on that a little bit because there aren't just photos for listings anymore. Now you can almost go through like digital walkthroughs. They have these 3D kind of views of houses. What are some of the changes in technology that we're seeing with real estate media?
There's a lot. What are some of the... a lot of times, I guess with video, like there's a lot of like these trendy edits and like, you know, all these fancy stuff of like the floating text or like the house drop or all this stuff, which is fine. Like some innovations. I think a lot of people are familiar with Matterport, especially from 2020 COVID times. Like you can see like the dollhouse view of the house, or you can see like virtually walk through the house by clicking on the discs on the floor. There's some better quality options out there, like the one that I use, which is called iGuide. Same idea. It's better. Like the image quality is better. It's faster for me to be in there. And so, instead of taking me an hour to do a normal size house to scan it all, just takes me 15 minutes, which lets the agent have their time back. Those kind of advancements. I think a lot of it, I guess for me and my focus is just a lot of it's on video. There's like AI, for example, like there's the advancement of being able to take pictures and having AI make a video out of the pictures, which is fine. I don't think that it's, at least in my opinion, it's not worth pursuing. A big focus recently has been on like AI. I mean, you can get AI to edit photos for you now versus, if you don't want to either edit the photos yourself or pay for a team in Vietnam or the Philippines or India or something, you can get AI to edit for you. Not sure how I've looked into that. It's, still not right for me, but.
No. AI image generation is, it's like, it's cool, but AI image editing, that's a different task. It's much more challenging. Yeah. Okay. So we got a lot of these kind of ancillary services. We had a, I was sharing with you that I had a conversation with a realtor not too long ago. I'm not sure if I actually brought up this point yet, but he was talking about how he would work with different realtor media types, and he had a problem with how much they were charging. This guy, you know, he's careful with where with his money goes. I think I said that right. I certainly didn't, though. But he always had this issue with like, oh, you want to charge me this much for drone photography and for walkthroughs. And every year I'm making less and less off of my listings because of just how my money has to go now. Mm-hmm. I could sell $1 million home and I'm only getting a couple thousand bucks. And you want me to spend this much more on drones? Now, for what it's worth, if someone's selling a house with a low overall value, so maybe like less than $500,000 in on the West Coast, because that's a low value house out here, maybe it's not worth to get the drones and to get the 3D walkthroughs. What are those thresholds that are worth knowing that someone could say, okay, now it's worth getting drone shots. Now it's worth getting that walkthrough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess, and I have a video about this in a way on my Instagram already. I made a video. But my opinion, I would say 90% of the time, it's worth the extra funds to get drone photos. So for the most part, I would say like everybody is pretty aware that you're going to want to get professional photos. So I'd say photos are standard where, I mean, for a smaller house, like a manufactured house, it maybe is only selling for 200,000, 300,000. Like instead of getting the full, so I have packages of like 25 photos for smaller houses, 40 photos for everybody else. Like for those, you get the smaller package of 25 photos. And then, you know, you can avoid like skip doing the drone photos. I guess in that case, like it might be less valuable if like the house is nearby or like just have a lot of stuff in their yards. So they're not appealing houses nearby where, you know, drone photos would show off like, you know, this house has like 10 cars in there, you know, or like they're parking all over the grass, or like they just have a bunch of stuff in their backyard. Cause then drone's going to expose that. But I would, my opinion, if I were an agent, not coming from like the real estate media, you know, trying to get money type thing, but just as a, understanding the value of drone is like 90% of the time, drone is worth the investment of like 150, 200 bucks of how much it costs. Because with drone, you know, I can fly up to 400 feet and show where the house is visually with relation to either, you know, like a body of water or the highway, the freeway, or like important landmarks or the store, like, you know, common stores. Like when I did it with Bellingham, like in downtown, like I would show like, this is the house and this is the like downtown Bellingham, or like, this is the house. And like, here's, you're like five blocks away from like Trader Joe's or something.
Here's the mall. It's right over there.
Yeah. And so being able to do that visually is, you know, much different than just typing it in on the description. So there's that. And then I guess for, so I guess the next tier up would be, okay, so basic would be like photos and drone. There's also the service of like a 2D floor plan to show the layout of the house. And I include that in all my packages. It's just a visual way to show people the layout of a house, especially if a house is not like the cookie cutter, you know, split level or whatever.
Right.
That's worthwhile. And then, you know, some of the other popular ones are like the video, and then like the 3D tour that we talked about, like Matterport or iGUIDE. It just depends, like, you know, iGUIDE is helpful, like if the house is in like a remote location or it's a nicer house where like a walkthrough, if it's staged or even vacant, it's going to help. And video is, I mean, if it's a nicer house or if the agent is aware that being on video and they have a good social media branding, like being able to help stay consistent and show that they're at listings is worthwhile. And then it's, I guess some other services that I provide are like virtual twilight, which I can convert a house taken during the day to being making it look like it was taken at twilight. that's helpful to show up on like Zillow, like when you're scrolling through a bunch of houses that were taken a day and right. then like, you know, you look at one that's taken, it looks like it was taken at twilight. It's just going to, you know, be that scroll stopping or it's going to show.
Yeah. It stands out.
It's going to stand out. And if it's a vacant property where either, you know, the stagers are too far out or, you know, it's just too expensive to hire stagers, then, it would be worthwhile to stage a couple rooms. It's pretty common to do like three rooms. So, like living room, dining room, and primary bedroom. Mm. And, yeah, I would caveat to say like, it's always best to do physical staging, but if that's not possible, then virtual staging is helpful. But yeah, it really, I would say like less about tiers and more about like the type of the house. And of course, yeah, I mean, photos and drone and are always great.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So moving on from that, let's talk about how people are finding you. Mm-hmm. So kind of feels like every business kind of changed after COVID. Mm-hmm. However, you're still clearly getting a lot of business through referrals. Is mm-hmm. that the primary way that you're growing your business?
Now, it's pretty common for me to get referrals. Mm-hmm. And I think in part because of being in Whatcom County and if I were in like Seattle, like a big, huge metropolitan area, it'd be different. Mm. But right now, like my initial strategy was social media. So Instagram, Facebook, where I would, you know, like follow an agent, like comment on their posts, like introduce myself through commenting and then like send them like a DM and just introduce myself through DM, like a video DM and like a text DM and just offer a free photo shoot at the beginning because they didn't know who I was. They didn't know the quality. And so being able to be like, okay, like I'm new to the area. You know, here's a free shoot where you can try out my services, give you an opportunity to see all my systems, see how it is to work with me. It's a way for me to like interview the agent, see if I want to work with them, see if we're a good fit. But since I've done that with everybody in Whatcom County, most everybody that's on social media in Whatcom County, at least a couple times, which is a different topic. But like now a lot of it is referrals where I've worked with a lot of agents, at least one agent in every office. Mm. Like a lot of them know who I am. And kind of what I was saying is like a lot of times now I'll get recognized when I go into an office or like, even though I haven't worked with somebody, like they'll have seen my like video DM or they'll have seen my picture
right
on social media or somebody has done work and they'll like recognize that work. Yeah. So a lot of, yeah, just osmosis and just like being in the area and working with agents and
Yeah, it is a funny experience. We're a little bit younger than Hickman Ariel, but we've kind of just started to run into that as well, where people know our work before they know us, which is, that's a nice kind of place to be. Yeah, as a creative, especially, I'm sure. Okay, so how about this? Market trends. You primarily do work in Whatcom, but I know you also go down to Snohomish every now and then, isn't that right?
Yeah, so I've recently done more. So my service area is from the border to Glacier to like Anacortes down to like Mount Vernon. Mm. But I've done work down in like Snohomish and Lake Stevens and Arlington. Yeah, that kind of extends as far out to my border as I usually get.
So does your pricing vary according to where you're offering your services? Because there's some big differences between the counties.
Yeah, so pricing is the same. And so one of the values of my business is like being transparent on pricing, and it just really makes it easy for everybody where like, if they want to know my pricing, I can just send them a link to my booking page. They can see the pricing and then they can even book there. If it's a special project, then I have maybe like hourly rate or something like that.
Right.
But my pricing is consistent. The only difference is like, maybe if it's, like outside of my service area, then I'll charge travel fee. Or yeah, if it's a special project, but otherwise it's all the same.
Well, then let's talk about price then, because that's something that eventually that always enters into the conversation. Mm-hmm. How much should someone be prepared to pay for real estate photography, including aerial shots, mm-hmm. if they want a good job done? This isn't some new guy that's just trying mm-hmm. to break in.
Yeah. So my most popular package is 40 photos, 5+ drone photos. Mm-hmm. I usually take more. And the 2D floor plan and like a marketing kit, which includes a single property website, social media stuff. Mm. So that's like $595 plus tax. Mm. And so like around $500 or so is a good rate for somebody in town trying to get photos and drone and some other stuff too. It just really depends on like the house. And yeah, like obviously if it's like a nicer house, I would suggest more stuff. But I guess starting around like $500 is a good price.
So someone's offering those same services for $250, mm-hmm. maybe be a little wary unless it's clearly part of a deal or something.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of people that are using the same strategy as me where like the first shoot is, the first shoot is free or something. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I did the same thing. So kind of going off that question, so there is this player in the game called Zillow and
heard of him once or twice. Yeah.
And they have their own photographers. So you can hire Zillow to take your photos for you. Mm. And it'll be, like you said, like cheaper, probably be for that same package that I just, quoted, probably be like $175, maybe $200.
Oh, wow.
But you will, I guess, I'm not sure if agents are understanding of the people that Zillow hires. But I mean, if Zillow is charging you maybe $200 for that same job, like
the photographer is getting maybe 100.
Yeah. Like they're not getting very much, no. Like maybe 100, maybe probably less. And so, all that to say, yeah, just like you get what you pay for. Mm. Somebody like myself or, like somebody that's been doing this for a long time, like they're not going to take those jobs, or if they do, like they're going to be on the back burner. Mm. Maybe like if it's slow time or if it's the winter, they might take them, but even still probably not. Mm. So yeah, just be aware. I guess the theme is you get what you pay for.
That's the lesson. Yeah. Just be ready. What was the adage? It was something to the effect of always be mindful of what you're spending your money on. But if it's worth spending money on, make sure that you spend what you need to and don't skimp out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyways, I guess that's the lesson of the day.
Yeah. I think that's the lesson of the day. Like I was saying, like get what you pay for. Mm. And what I try to do, is like try to see where the budget is because like we can be flexible on like what we provide if they have a clear idea of what their budget is.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a conversation asking like, what's your budget? Like, what are you hoping to achieve from this? And sometimes it can be like, we can be flexible on the budget, like how much we charge for other, benefits. Like sometimes, for example, instead of for, monetary compensation, you can do it like, okay, instead of, like charging full price for this video, I'll charge half the price and then, go to your brokerage and do a presentation and get in front of your agents and do that instead. So sure. Exposure, a different type of exposure, but yeah, it's important to understand what you get what you pay for.
Yeah. Trades are great. Mm-hmm. And, I'll end with this last anecdote because I thought it was a funny experience. We had a fella again, comes out for a job and then it comes to the conversation of price and they're a little bit tight. And he's like, all right, that's fine. And they're like, hey, but can you be flexible? It's like, we can absolutely be flexible. We could talk about trades. We can mm-hmm. talk about becoming sponsors and what all the rest. They're like, well, why don't you just bring less gear? I'm like, no, that's not the conversation that follows. Mm-hmm. If you want to talk about deliverables, you don't want certain deliverables, we can do that. But if you're asking me to lessen my quality of work, that's a different conversation that I'm not willing to have. It's like going to Gordon Ramsay and say, hey, Gordon, I really want your food, but you're a little pricey. Can you only cook with like 3 pans and can mm-hmm. you only use 1 hand? Because I don't want to pay for Gordon Ramsay, but I really want Gordon Ramsay's food. No, it doesn't work. So I don't know. Trades are great. There's always room for negotiation, but don't skimp out.
Yeah.
Cause I'm not going to when I work for you.
Yeah, something I've learned this year as I've done more projects and gotten more experience is like just understanding the value that I provide and the experience.
Yeah.
And so just, it's okay to be flexible, but also just being able to hold firm on the value you provide.
Absolutely, because we do offer value. Yeah. Okay, well, Casper, this has been a great conversation. Where can people find you?
Awesome, thank you. Check my website, www.hickmanariel.com. Instagram is Hickman_Ariel, and on Facebook as well.
That's great.
Right.
Well, thank you, dear viewers, for tuning in to another episode of A Businessman's Guide to Almost Everything. We hope that you've enjoyed what you've been listening to. Be sure to come back in the future, though, because Casper is going to be returning, and we're going to be talking about the myths and unpleasant truths about your industry, some of the ugly sides of it.
Okay. All right.
All right. Well, until then, take care and be well, everyone. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.